So, Gabby, can you just give a roll call, please?
Sure. From the CCNSO, we have Leslie Cowley, Byron Holland, Roloff Meyer, and Mathieu Vile. And we have apologies from FAD, Bataina, Sabina Dalderer, Atsushi Endo, Staffan Johnson, Debbie Monahan, Giovanni Sepia, Leonid Todorov. Peter van Rosten might join a little late. From staff, we have Xavier Calves, Bart Boswinkel, Janice Dumalang, Christina Nordstrom, Juan Ojeda, and myself.
Well, so I have to apologize on behalf of the CCNSO for being outnumbered by ICANN staff. Xavier is there, right?
Yes.
Hello, Xavier. Well, everyone, what I would like to do is I would like to have three items on the agenda. First, we will have the presentation of the operating plan and budget framework by Xavier. And any other ICANN staff member can, of course, add to what he says. Xavier, what do you want? Do we post questions during your presentation, or do you want to have them at the end of your presentation?
You know, it sounds to me that it's easier to have the question during the presentation because I would assume that it's going through each slide that will trigger question, then it's probably better to address those questions while we are on that slide. So that would be my preference.
Okay. So we have the presentations, and if you have questions, you can ask them straight away. When Xavier has finished, I would like to briefly touch on the timeline. Bart has sent us an email with the timeline. I just want to make sure that everybody sees the sense of it and agrees with it. And then I want to come to the division of work and the formation of the team. So Juan, Janice, and Xavier, that part, the time, well, maybe during the timeline that might be interesting, we might have some questions on that, but when we start dividing the work, you can hang on if you want, but you can sign up also if that suits you better.
Understood.
To the working group members, are there any other things that you would like to have on the agenda that I didn't mention? Okay, that's good. So, Xavier, you have the floor.
Okay. Do I have control over the presentation, or do I need to ask to move from slide to slide?
Whoa. I have difficulties in understanding what the difference would be, but I see you as a presenter on the list, so that would suggest, yeah.
Okay, I'm the one apparently moving the slides now, so it looks like I do have the control
Excellent,
over the presentation.
Sir.
The only thing is that when I say control, I don't look like I'm controlling that well the slides moving up or down. Okay, so I'm, first of all, just to check, did anyone have any time to look at the presentation before as made available on the website?
I did.
Okay. So I will do while I'm leaving this slide on the Adobe Room, I'll do a very quick overview of the process that led us to get there. We have reviewed internally with the staff the two different set of information. We have worked on revenue projections, which are explained towards the back of this presentation, and to set the stage for what we think our sources of income are and what the amounts would be, so that we use basically that estimate of revenues as the benchmark for basically to compare our expenses under the premise of trying to balance the budget. We have then looked at an input that we have asked from each of the ICANN departments on two different things. Any significant change in the scope of activities that each department is expecting or looking into for 2013. We're 6 months away from 2013, and a lot of things can change and will change over this 6 months, so it's difficult to have that exercise for 2013. But nonetheless, what do you know as of today that will affect your department's activities in 2013 is what we asked to the departments. We also asked them to name the projects that they're expecting to see happening in 2013, and also formulate the project from 2012 that they're expecting to carry over into 2013. And for the new project, we asked them to try to provide a little bit of color as to what the content of the project is. And we have also asked to provide an estimate of an envelope associated with the project. At this stage, it's not a detailed bottom-up budget, but it is an estimate of how much we are thinking it may cost for the only sake of trying to understand whether it's a $2 million project or a $50K project, so that it helps us going through the motion of the budget to understand the magnitude of the project, and also help, when I say us, I mean all of us together, the community and us, to understand whether there is a very significant project that's suggested here that everyone should look at and weigh in on whether we think it makes sense or not, whether we think it's an appropriate approach, or we should have the project but it's too big, or whatever. So this is the approach that we have retained, is to use input from the departments on meaningful changes. Once we've had that, we have tried to formulate a top-down valuation, I would say, of the budget with very basic assumptions. So, and just to make sure we're all clear, I wanted to make sure we formulate that approach, because I don't want you guys to think, and I don't think you do, but I just wanted to be clear on the fact that this is a top-down approach that we have carried out to help us go through the motions of the budget, as we have explained before, and therefore the level of detail behind is not meant to be important. Otherwise, it would be bottom-up budget. So we have formulated a number of trends and assumptions, which we have indicated in the document, to be able to formulate a high-level view of our revenues and expenses. And I would say that we probably have a slightly more detail on the revenues than we actually have on the expenses by department, because it's a little bit narrower to estimate. But the expenses, we have done trending of expenses to come up with the amounts, and also then help us correlate that trending with some input that we've received from the department. So we're starting narrowing down the 2013 budget subject to a certain amount of input that we have, the trends of revenues that give us indication as to whether we have a large issue or a small issue or a favorable difference between the revenues and expenses as trended. So that was just the method. Sorry to have been a bit long on that. This first slide is just trying to give a little bit of a review of the process. Unless there are questions, I will move on, and feel free to interrupt me at any time. That's no problem. That's what this call is for, I think, at least from our perspective. we are putting there the reference to the strategic plan on slide 3 so as to be able to relate one with the other. And we have tried to illustrate some of the relationship between the strategic plan and the budget priorities and the projects further down in the presentation, and we'll get there in a few minutes. Any questions at this stage? I'll take that as a no, and I'll move on. This is just on slide 4, a reminder of the overall timing and milestones of the budget. It's maybe a slightly different representation than what you have seen before, but nothing. I will not comment in detail unless there are questions. I think, Rolf, if you want to go over the next steps and the overall planning after yeah. this specific item, so we can take that then, and I will move on.
Yeah, please.
Slide 5. We are explaining here the ICANN priorities. We have formulated the list of priorities that we perceive are the ones that we need to have that we need to go by in 2013. And they have been determined by a reference to the strategic plan, by also input from a number of departments on what we think are the major items in 2013 that we need to be working on or we need to contribute to. And these priorities have been formulated with a certain amount of community input and discussions that happened in Dakar, a certain amount of staff input and reference to the strategic plan, also reference, of course, a little bit using this current year's budget exercise that was closed in June last year, and also reviewed by the ICANN's management team. We are using this as a guidance to basically benchmark or check that projects or activities that are carried out do fit within those priorities, or if they don't for a given reason, we understand why they don't, and we understand that we have to carry them out nonetheless. So it's used as a framework of reference to always check that what we are considering fits within our mission, and we're trying to formulate the 2013 list of priorities consistent with the strategic objectives and the mission of ICANN so as to help us do that exercise. So you will see, for example, that we have associated each project that we are looking at for 2013 at this stage with a given priority to ensure that each of these projects fits within that framework and doesn't derail resources from these objectives. So that's the method. These priorities are following as a list there, and of course, I will not necessarily go into the detail of them now, but this is something that I would expect to receive input from the community on. You've missed this, or what is that, or why is this a priority versus something else that's not there? So we definitely expect input on that front so that we ensure that we effectively correctly include priorities that should be in and don't focus on things that should not. So the input from the community is very much expected on this matter. I will move on unless there are questions. Maybe I should stop there for a second.
Xavier, just a question on your slides Hang on. No, I'll have a question on slide 7. So I'm just aware of that. Okay, no, carry on.
Well, why don't we go to slide 7 then? So slide 7, this is just a view of those priorities sorted out by strategic pillar as part of the strategic plan to try to give an overview of how we see them relating to this strategic plan. Roloff, why don't we go with your question?
Yeah, I think that's a very logical approach here from slide 5 to 6 to 7. And I do indeed recognize slide 7 and the columns in slide 7 as also in the strategic plan. But in those columns in the strategic plan, you have mentioned projects and activities. I think you call them strategic activities or something like that. And how do they fit with the projects and activities that you have in the operational plan here in the columns now? Do you understand my question?
No, sorry, I'm not sure.
In the strategic plan, there is a slide which looks very similar to this one. It has the same four columns.
Okay.
But within the columns, there are strategic activities. And they are not identical to what I see here in the columns, which, of course, can be explained because they are the three-year strategic activities and this is operational activities for 1 year. But is there any way in which we can find a connection between the two? For instance, are there certain activities mentioned in the strategic plan in one of these columns that are not covered by your operational plan because you have changed the priority or something like that?
Okay. I think I see your point. So basically, the correspondence that you would like to understand is between these priorities that we're indicating in the blue boxes with the next level of detail within each of the four pillars of activities of the strategic plan. How do each match to these activities?
And especially if there are things that you have decided not to do that are indicated in the strategic plan and that you have decided not to do this year or maybe not to do at all.
Okay, understood. Nothing comes to mind that is an exception to these priorities addressing the activities within each pillar. What I suggest we do is that we just do that verification and come back to you with it.
Okay.
And maybe we can, I'll try to think how to just formalize that, but maybe we can just match the, have a very simple table with the four pillars, then the activities within those four pillars, and then laying out the priorities across those activities and see where we are not necessarily matching and whether that effectively reflects an activity of the plane that's not addressed in the priorities. Now, the priorities don't necessarily try to be exhaustive, so I would assume that some priorities would cover several activities in the sense that if I take an example, you know, having a if I look here in the list of page 13, I can't imagine that some priorities that are mentioned there could conceptually at least address several activities. But we'll do that exercise. And I'm assuming, Janice, you're helping me make notes of the comments that we are going through so that we make sure we address them going forward. But I that's what I suggest to do so that we address your question.
That's fine, Sylvia. Thank you.
Okay. slide 8. We have in the past introduced this little bit analytical view of the budget between what's project, what is core operations, and what is specific additional community requests, just to give an order of magnitude and understand a little bit that we have to be... we wanted to comment, nonetheless, that the as a convention and assumption, strategic projects and cooperation are activities that are recurringly carried out by staff, or let me rephrase, staff contributes to both activities on the strategic projects, usually not alone. The community is involved one way or the other in a lot of cases. What we have done is the core operations contains, I would say, all the staff costs, and the projects don't contain any staff costs, with very little exceptions to that rule, being the staff that's entirely dedicated to a project, a reasonably simple example of that in the past was in the new GTLD team. Their staff members in that team, or that team is actually made up of staff members, but the entire department was reported under a given project, which is the new GTLD lounge, and as a result, the cost of that department was inserted in the project and not shown on the core operations. But other than this type of specific exceptions, the costs, the full cost of the staff is included in the core operations rather than in the strategic projects.
Xavier, it's Byron. Just a question on community additional requests. Can you give us a little more color on where they're from and how they make the hurdle of actually getting funding versus perhaps those that don't?
Okay. So let me give an overview of what that process is, where that process is at this stage. We have created this year a disconnection between the timing of the SONAC requests process and the timing of producing the framework. I think last year we worked with the community so that we can insert the requests in the framework and be and then part of the framework that was commented upon during the comment period. This year we have disconnected that, those two processes to give more time for the SONAC request to be formulated, and have only used for the purpose of this framework that you're looking at a placeholder, an envelope of $500,000, which is basically picked based on what this amount was last year's budget, to just ensure that we include this item, though we don't yet have all the SONAC requests. So these requests are currently being formulated. The deadline, the original deadline for providing those requests is January 20th, and we have given a little bit of a grace period for requests to potentially come in until January 31st, because there are some scheduling and holidays and New Year celebration issues that affected a number of organizations, and we're preventing them from doing the work that they think they need to do on this subject. So bottom line, by the end of January, we will have the list of requests, and we are currently working with the policy staff to formulate a process to select those requests. And when I say formulate a process, what I want to do is gather a number of representative members of the community across the organizations to suggest a process to select the requests. I think it will be a challenging exercise, but what we want to move away from is that last year, by lack of being able as a group together with the community to formulate a compromised list of items that make it into the budget, to simplify, I think staff basically found itself in the situation of having to make the decision and didn't make the decision, which is the last resort option, usually the worst one, because staff's, you know, making decision on what on a request from the community is probably not reflecting the community's choices, or even though I think the staff is trying to do the best job they can at doing that, we should not make decisions on what the requests are that fit in the budget. So we are trying to formulate a process that helps sorting out and selecting the requests that make it into the envelope versus the ones that don't. And obviously I'm working under the premise that we will gather an amount of requests that will exceed the envelope. Yes?
Thank you. Sorry to cut you slightly short, but I think, Byron, was that your answer? Are you happy with it?
Yes, it's certainly a lot of color. Thank you. So bottom line, though, is it's an envelope, still undetermined, and there's some process issues, but that is much clearer for me now. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on this slide? I have one, Xavier.
Sure.
Do you think you can give us an estimate of how much the strategic project costs would rise and the core operations costs would decrease if staff allocation costs were done correctly? And I just need a rough scale. Is it 1 million? Is it 5 million? Or is it 10 million?
Without having done the exercise of trying to do that, it's difficult to speculate. I would only try to guess a percentage of the staff's time that's spent on project, which it would be only my guess. And you ask 10 different people, you'll have 10 different answers. But I can give a shot at that, Roloff. I will have to take a little bit of time to look at it, because what I want to try to do is at least at a very high level look through the list of projects to see how much staff resources we are expecting or part of the project, because some projects don't have any staff resources contributing to them, or very little or a lot. So I would want to have a first look at that, but it will be a guess. And I don't believe that we have ever formulated a detailed project-by-project allocation of the staff and the staff costs, nor do we track hours of the staff.
No, that I understand. And I don't think you would need that level of detail, but without any objective of sounding paternalistic, I would suggest to you that in order to give this particular slide any value, you would at least have to, as the CFO, I think you would at least have to have a fair impression on what the impact of your assumption is, or the impact of the decision not to divide staff that is not fully working for projects, divide their costs roughly between the projects and core operations. As a CEO, I would accept this kind of a presentation if it was a material difference, but as soon as it would become significant, let's say it would add more than 10% to the cost of the strategic projects, I would suggest that it would be important to actually try to allocate those costs to the projects, or stop with the presentation as it is, because it will just give the wrong impression.
And when you say wrong impression, what do you mean by that?
Well, it now gives the impression that strategic projects cost 11 million. But maybe, and I'm just assuming, Maybe it is not 11 million, but it's 20, because in core operations, 63 million, there are now 10 million US dollars for staff, which are working part of the time for strategic projects, but their costs are not in those projects. So if that's the case, if it's, for instance, 10 million, then this particular slide gives a very wrong impression, because it gives the impression that strategic projects involve a total cost of approximately 11 million US dollars.
And I understand your point, except that we're saying that it's those are external costs. So I'm not trying to, I don't think it conveys that image, as long as you understand what the assumptions are. I could even tell you that the projects include only travel costs. So I'm not disputing that having a full cost of the project is something that we should look at. At this stage, we just wanted to be clear as to what's included versus not included. Showing projects inclusive of staff costs has its own requirements in terms of tracking and analysis, and also implies that the resources have a certain amount of dedication to the projects, which in very many cases is not the case. So the full cost of projects with staff allocation in it has its own rationale that we need to be very carefully defining as well. Because when you say correctly, I would argue that we need to determine what's correct versus not correct in allocating or not cost to project.
No, I agree, Xavier. But then,
okay.
Because now, I mean, it seems as if we're comparing two things that we shouldn't compare, because the strategic projects, as I understand from you, only include external costs, but the 63 million for core operations include internal and external costs.
Correct. And, correct.
Yeah, so that is a bit, I think it's a bit confusing. It's not, well, there's no objective to mislead us, but it, people can draw the wrong conclusion here, and I think.
Okay.
But okay, let's move on, because our time is limited.
Okay. So the slide number 9 is giving a very high-level comparison between 12 and 13. Don't think there's anything specific there. Other, I'm not saying you should not comment. I'm just saying I'm not trying to go into the details of that at this stage, because I think it's very self-explanatory what the information is. Sure.
Yeah,
hello?
I had a comment on that one.
Sure.
For my clarification, really. On the FY12 budget column heading, that seems to me to represent the original budget for FY12. But obviously, you're almost halfway through the year by now. Is the predicted outturn different from that materially?
So we are working on formulating the forecast for 2012 as of December end. We're in the process of finishing the close of the December end, and based on that close to formulate a forecast for 2012, we have attempted to do that exercise a little bit early in the year as well at the end of October, and not been able to entirely complete that exercise. So I will answer a question that you didn't ask. We want to do that and do exactly what you're asking for. What we've done at the end of October that was not giving a full, complete view, nonetheless, did not let us see any issues of magnitude in the current spend that was putting at stake the budget. There's a number of timing differences that make us be below budget at the end of October in a reasonably significant manner, and there's two or three elements that contributed to this these timing differences, and we're trying to reformulate now what the timing should be of those expenses, and of course trying to understand whether at the end of the day we will spend as much as was budgeted or less. Just without trying to be too detailed, we are spending less on compensation on the because we're hiring at a slightly lower rate than what was planned in the budget. There are some legal fees that we have had included in the budget that have not been incurred as of yet. But again, we are looking at, because of those timing changes in the first 6 months, how does that affect the next 6 months? And that's what we're looking at. So to answer more directly your question, we don't have any specific concern, and we're a bit below budget at the end of October, and we're redoing this exercise at the end of December with the intention to have a more complete and finished exercise on the subject.
Absolutely. I mean, that sounds great. What I was trying to do really from looking just at this level was look at trends. Ideally for future presentations, it would be great to have the FY11 final outturn in effect. And so forth. So really that you can kind of look at overall the trends in expenditure. And just to address your last point, it's equally interesting to know that there is an under-budget performance. Sometimes you have to work hard to put in the resource in order to spend the money, as it were. That to me is equally as concerning as an over-budget performance.
I completely agree with that. I think there are two different type of concerns. I have a reasonably immediate concern if we would be above budget because we would be spending more than we have. Spending less than we have is a less concerning issue from a cash management standpoint, but is obviously also reflecting the fact that we're not necessarily delivering on initiatives or services that we should that were planned to be delivered upon. So I'm not disputing that. I completely agree with you, and I think both variances need to be analyzed from both aspects, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you.
Xavier, just one more clarifying question. So that means since you didn't have a forecast for 12 ready, that staff that was asked to come up with their estimates for this framework probably used the 12 budget.
They used a combination of the 12 budget and the 12 year-to-date spend at the end of October to work with, and the most current information. Of course, when they looked at their staff needs, they looked at the current situation, which they know what it is, and which they looked at based on the October results. On the department-by-department basis, the information that the departments used was as current as the end of October, with some qualifications that we had some things to shift from one department to the other. But leaving those details aside, the departments had the October year-to-date information in their hands, and they worked through the months of end of November and early December until the end of December on the input that they provided. So I think they had the most current perspective to provide their input to us.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving on, nothing new in this slide, just a little bit of a drill down of the activities that are in core on slide 10 and slide 11 point of not spending too much time and trying to finish on time. I will not go over that and let you comment on this down the road. Slide 12 is just trying to provide a representation of the projects list. So you can see on the blue column the list of projects for 2012. We're in the 2012 budget. We are trying to represent here the projects that we're expecting to be completed by the end of 2012 and the ones that we're expecting to carry over into 2013 and be added, therefore, to the list of projects in 2013. So to the point of having an adequate status view of 2012, what we are in the process of doing, which we have not yet done nor represented in this slide, is which ones of the projects that carry out in 2012 carry over because they were meant to versus the ones that carry over because we are late in delivering on them. And when I say we are late, we may be late as a committee, or there may be environment issues that drive that lateness. So we are in the process of analyzing that, because I think that would be useful to provide as an overview of 2012 as well, to the point that we were just discussing with Leslie before. We are providing more information on those strategic projects on page 13 as an overview. Again, as I said earlier in my presentation, the envelopes that are indicated there for the 2013 projects are estimates and have more or less, and I would say usually less than more, bottom-up detailed information at this stage, and we are working with the departments to refine those estimates, or to challenge them, or to do what, you know, the normal process of iteration on projects. But I think it is relevant at this stage to provide as complete of a view as possible to everyone as to what the project lists are. And I would expect the community and you guys, but everyone else as well, to weigh in on these list of projects. And based on the envelope amount that's indicated here, irrespective of the amount of detail that's behind it, to say, well, that sounds like a lot, or that doesn't seem to be granted the importance that we think this project should have, one way or the other. So, or there are projects that should be in that list that are not. So basically providing qualitative input as to how this makes sense or not, or is incomplete or exceeding what it should, or not adequately funded. We have attempted to provide a little bit of color on each of the projects in the subsequent slides to help a little bit the understanding of what each project is, and that carries us through to slide 14 are projects that we are still trying to understand the amounts associated with them, and that the departments are still working on. And at the time we published this, we didn't have the quantification that we wanted for these projects, but we wanted to nonetheless mention them, and they would be potentially additive to the list on the previous slide. So slide 15, 16, slides 15 and 16 and 17 provide comments by project on the selected number of projects. Those are the ones that you can see on page 13 are indicated with a slide number. So on the fourth column from the left, you see slide number with an asterisk, and you see number of pages that are indicated there. So the new GTLD operation is commented on slide 15, and the compliance improvements, fifth project from the top, is commented on slide 16. And we have tried to address the top 10 projects in this presentation so as to make it provide a certain amount of input while not expanding the size of this presentation with more detailed and less significant subjects.
Xavier, I think we can go over those slides afterwards.
Absolutely, I didn't intend to do that now.
No, I know, but I just want to check with the rest of the group. So my suggestion would be, if you all agree, that we move to slide 22.
Right.
Where we have an overview of the new GTLD application course.
Yeah? just wanted to make a brief point that the top 10 projects by budget amount was really helpful, actually, and that's the first time I've seen that presented in that way. That's really helpful for getting a feel for the kind of level of expenditure on the key items. What I haven't done is check back, of course, that is matched by those being the key items on the strategic plan. A number of them are very familiar, obviously, I think it was very helpful as a presentation. I just didn't want to let that go without saying that.
Understood, and that's helpful to know so that we enhance this type of view in the future. What we have intended, as you can see on the slide 13, to just to address partially your comment, we have intended to indicate the priority to which each of these projects contribute to address on the right of the slide 13. So you can see the priority and the number of the priority, and that corresponds to the list of the 13 priorities that we've seen earlier in the presentation. So you can understand and relate which priority each of the project is contributing to.
Yeah. Leslie, you're very right, and it earns a compliment. It deserves a compliment.
So moving on to, I will stop on slide 21, Roloff, but that's addressing slide 22, actually. So we just wanted to give an understanding on slide 21 of what appears on slide 22. I will then go to slide 22, but I will let you guys go through the slide 21 when you do more detailed work to understand adequately what slide 22 presents. So at a very high level, what we were intending to do here is provide a focus before we jump in the overall ICANN figures, a focus on the new GTLD applications impacts, just because they are so significant to understanding the overall numbers. And we thought it was actually helpful to have the understanding of those assumptions before jumping into the overall figures. So you can see, I will not necessarily go over the detailed figures with a couple exceptions. You can see the leftmost columns, the three leftmost columns that are highlighted in gray, if that's a highlight, that are shaded in gray, correspond to figures that you have seen 6 months ago or 8 months ago in the fiscal year 2012 budget presentation. Those were the new GTLD figures produced then for the year 2012 and the year 2013. We have amended and updated basically these figures as of more or less today, so it's more a mid-December current view of the same information, 2012 and 2013. I will only comment on the fact that we have retained a little bit of a different top-down approach, on the timing of recognition of the revenues and the expenses to correct some inaccuracies in the budget numbers, and also mainly to reflect a matching of revenues and expenses in terms of timing of recognition. That is an accounting principle that I am expecting, and I take ownership on this, you will understand why, that I am expecting will be meaningful in the exercise that we are currently going through of formulating the accounting treatment of revenues and the accounting treatment of expenses in this for as it relates specifically to the new GTLD program, because these transactions are unusual enough in terms of what they represent, the program, whether the fees are retroceded or not, until when can they be retroceded, and how the expenses are incurred also affects the timing of recognition of revenues. The bottom line is this exercise is a complex exercise. We are currently working to formulate the accounting treatment of revenues and expenses. We have had at this stage high-level discussions with our auditors, but we will have more detailed discussions with our auditors to formalize a revenue and expenses recognition policy for the new GTLD program. In the meantime, we have assumed that we would have a requirement to match or to have a reasonable amount of synchronization between the revenues that are recognized and the expenses that are recognized. And this is a principle that we have reflected in the updated view of the new GTLD application. And therefore, I'm talking a lot about the split between 2012 and 2013 of the total amounts. This slide is still based on an assumption of 500 applications, which is what the budget assumption was for 2012, and we have not tried to revise because we don't have information to be able to do that. Of course, what we are working on the budget is that by the time we publish the budget, we will know what the number of applications is. And that creates for us a little bit of a paradigm, which is that we need to work through the bottom-up budget process without knowing the number of applications that we are going to have. But by the time we publish the budget, we will also publish, actually normally on the same day, we're going to also publish the number of applications. And as a result, we will have to formulate a set of scenarios in the budget that will help us address the fact that this timing coincidence is adequately taken into account in the final budget. So we will have to revise this amount, basically.
As one would imagine. I don't envy you the complexity of that task. I guess from a community point of view, though, it would be helpful to have a better understanding for the effect of magnitudes of changes. So, for example, if there were 1,000 applications, that may not double some of those cost lines, but in others, it could well double some of those cost lines. Are you with me?
I'm completely with you, Leslie, and I was laughing when you were formulating your question, not because it's a funny question, but because that's the one that I've had as well and that we have determined to, at the time of the framework, to not formulate scenarios. But I completely agree with you. We need to do it. We don't have a choice. And, by the way, it's actually very interesting to see how that comes out when you formulate those scenarios. So we are working on that. We have purposefully not tried to do that in the framework, and the staff people on the call can attest that we've had this discussion. Yeah. And my original preference was to produce scenarios, but I think it was a more reasonable approach to not entertain speculation on one hand, not put ourselves into a corner on the other hand, because that would have been a fairly difficult exercise to do within a very short timing, and it would not have been easy. But we are working on that, and we will do that for the sake of the budget, and we will have probably a fairly comprehensive set of slides in the budget relative to the new GTLD scenarios to the point of timing that we were making earlier.
I mean, just to be clearer, I'm not by any stretch recommending that you do lots of scenarios. It's really to share an understanding of the effect of different scaling, in effect.
Right.
So not in terms of producing the revised figures for 750 or whatever.
Right.
But trying to get a better feel amongst the community for the relationship
and the cost drivers.
Sorry, someone said something that I didn't understand.
Yeah, I said the cost drivers. I think that's
yes.
what Leslie is looking for. Those things that really increase when you get a higher number of applications.
Right. I'm completely with you. That's exactly the type of things that we want to be able to understand. And modelizing this will help us formulate adequately the assumption on a cost-by-cost basis or on a nature of cost by nature of cost basis to understand what's fixed, what's not, what how things vary, and how, therefore, does the overall financial impact come up. So I'm completely with you. I completely agree with the rationale and the need, and we have the same needs and rationale in mind.
Okay. Xavier, just to make sure that I understand what is presented to us, your sixth column from the left, the blue one, in the middle of current view, it says fiscal year 13 forecast. Is that not fiscal year 13 budget or framework?
So, sorry, I'm laughing as well because we're touching another discussion that we've had at length. So it is the formulation of the 2013 numbers as of today. Yes. It will not be the budget. We already know that because we know that the budget will be formulated on the basis of the actual number of applications. We could have called it framework or 2013 view as at the time of the framework, but this is the most current view that we have basically of 2013 on the basis of what's going to happen in 2012 as well, of course.
Yeah, okay. And if I'm not mistaken, the current view is that for the fiscal year of 12 and 13 together, the new G2D program is going to run a deficit of $642,000, and that is with a $30 million risk cost budget in it, right?
Yes. And to be precise, maybe we should have just directly do that. The point there was that we're expecting at the 500 level, we are expecting this program to be break even on the basis of the estimates of costs that have been formulated before. So you're correct. We're looking at this as a break even situation, not as a loss of 642 or a gain of 100 or whatever. But yes, you're correct. This is a break even project. And assuming, obviously, that we would have, at the end of the day, costs that would be incurred to address risks of the $30 million. Now, just so that we're clear, if we would be talking purely and simply of P&L and net result, because of the timing of recognition of costs, until a risk is emerged and has a likelihood of generating expenses for ICANN, we can't book those costs. So there may be a timing difference between the time that the upper part of the schedule is effectively represented in our books and the time that we incur risks that are mentioned below that may create an optical difference where in 2013 we may have a big net difference that's positive, but risks that are running down the road and that may materialize 6 months or 12 months later, and we, at the time of which we are going to incur the costs, if you see what I'm saying. So the timing is actually could impact this view, and I'm sure will impact this view tremendously.
Yeah. Okay, just as a matter of order, we're running over time. We've got about 13 slides to go. I just want to check with my team. I would propose that you tell Xavier which particular of the remaining slides you would want him to address, assuming that we still have some time. Does everybody still have a bit of time, or do we have people that really have to leave the call now?
I'm fine. Slide 24.
Slide 24. Okay. Anybody else who wants to have a particular slide or a particular set of slides being highlighted by Xavier before we move to teams and work division and things like that?
What I suggest, Roloff, is that we go on slide 24, and then I'll scan through the rest of the slides very quickly to just describe what the slide is and move on. So it will be a three-word slide.
Maybe it's even better because the remaining slides are mainly about main assumptions.
Right.
We will go over those by ourselves, but maybe you can highlight those that you think that are of primary importance to us.
Understood.
Assumptions where you think these really have an impact, you should pay attention to it.
Sure.
Yeah? Okay.
Sure.
Go ahead. Sure.
So slide 24, and I'll let you ask your question, Leslie, and then let us get into this slide.
Thank you. I have a bit of an interest in staff numbers, and I saw the staff numbers on slide 26 as well, but you don't need to go to slide 26. And that was really an indication that staff numbers are currently lower than budgeted, which is one of those things where, given how stretched everyone seems to be and the vast number of projects, etc., unlike my normal comments, I was going to make a comment around, is that enough under personnel, given, in effect, that there's quite a gap between desirable numbers and current numbers. Often it takes time to recruit people and get them on board, etc. And I was just really a bit worried that there isn't enough resource to do the plan. And those of you that know me from old, I'm one that kind of says, if you haven't got enough resource to do the plan, then maybe we should cut back on the plan.
Right.
And we have a tendency to not do that in ICANN. Just kind of assume that the existing people will stretch to deliver everything that we've agreed to. So my question really is probably a bit more broad. Is there sufficient being put in to get the organization up to the staffing level required? And the figures in FY12 versus 13 didn't really indicate enough investment for me, if that is indeed the headcount that will be needed to deliver.
So I'm trying to I will try to be short about the answer, but to the effect of trying to be short, I think the concerns that you formulate are real, are valid. I think that I wouldn't say the answer is yes, we are not forecasting or budgeting for enough compensation costs. I think that this is part of what we need to address through the bottom-up process, is trying to understand in a more realistic manner what staff increase we need to materialize in the next few months, and we can materialize in the next few months, and have that process validate the more top-down process of, this is all what we need to do, and therefore we need this much more resources. And when you look at that, it creates a gap of 40 people, which, by the way, I think this was the budget 2012, was 43 people to be added to 120-something. I don't remember all the numbers in mind, but that was basically a 30% increase. And I think that unless you gear the entire organization to hiring, a 30% increase of headcount is not realistic. And what we see today is that we are not delivering as fast as we could or should on that headcount increase. And sometimes I'll tell you it's for the good. Sometimes I can see, for example, John Jeffrey on legal has not yet hired people that he had planned in the budget to hire a couple months ago, and you know, it's not necessarily that required. Now, having said that, what you're saying is real, that we do see on a daily basis, including on finance, but more generally speaking across ICANN staff, a lot of pressure on the staff who's stretched, and that has an impact on operational delivery, obviously. So I agree, generally speaking, with your concern, and I think we have formulated that with Akram. I know that Rod is also very much aware of it, and what we're going to try to do through the bottom-up budgets is try to address a more realistic approach, and potentially, by the way, explicitly formulating that if we are not able to put in place the resources by a certain time of the year, there's a number of things that we should already formulate we would not do, because becoming, therefore, a representation. We recognize the fact that it does take resources to do things, and we can't continue having a gap between the two.
Yes. I mean, the CCNSO has previously made feedback on the strategic plan along exactly those lines, saying that, you know, it takes a great deal of time and effort to recruit people and then to train them and induct them into the organization. So that there is a limit to how many people you can take on each year, in effect, without there being a huge impact on what you're already trying to do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on this slide? And I'm not trying to assume that there shouldn't be any. This is probably one of the slides where you're going to spend a lot of time. But I just wanted to make sure we address questions so that you can move on to your work easier.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, I have one, Xavier.
Sure.
Am I reading the slide correctly if I say that without the new GTLD project, I can expect to run an operational loss of $6.3 million in the fiscal year 2013, which is only turned into a positive change in net assets because there are some historical costs, so those are costs not related to the operations of 13, but costs incurred for the new G2D project in the years before, by a 10 million plus on those historical costs. So there's a 6.3 million operational loss for those things done, supposed to be done in the fiscal year 13. Is that correct?
So that's how it looks, and the answer is no. So, yes, it looks like you have a core that's in deficit, and you have a new GTLD that overcompensates that deficit. The issue that we are dealing with right now is that in the core operations, we have started formulating impacts, or let me rephrase, costs incurred in relation to operating the new GTLDs that will be granted through the application, or not the application process, but the delegation process. So after the application period at the end of mid-April, we will start processing applications. We'll be granting names at some point towards, to begin with, probably towards the end of the year, and we will start operating new registries, and so on. Drafting contracts, operating those new registries, that drives costs. What we are showing in the core operations are the activities, all the same activities and with some changes that we have currently, but also an increase in activities that are driven by more registries to manage, basically, more contracts to draft. So the just to conclude on my answer, the new GTLD column only includes the application process impact. So the application fee and the application costs, not necessarily the cost of operating the new GTLD. So that's part of the answer, but it's the main part of the answer. But we are also intending to try to sort that out as part of the bottom-up budget to ensure that we have a correct understanding of that impact on one hand, and that we're looking at matching costs and revenues on the core operations on a continuing basis. What I mean by that is we may incur costs in 2013 that may generate revenues for which the revenues will only come maybe in 2014 because those registries will be ramping up. But we're not capitalizing costs to be expensed for the future, so we will incur the costs probably up front in 2013, though the revenues may come down the road.
Okay, so the operational loss that we see is because there are costs for the operation of new GTLDs while there's no revenue for the operation of new GTLDs yet.
Or correct, or and when we say no, it's very minimal in 2013,
yeah.
The way we're currently assuming it.
Okay, thank you.
I will go over the next slides very quickly. We've tried to provide a bit of a view on the assumptions that we're making in these figures. I think a number of them are self-explanatory, or most of them are. I won't stop there. I think I don't think anything is surprising to you guys there. If it is, let me know as I go through those slides. Just so that you know, as you already know, but just to relate to our conversation with Leslie earlier, headcount and professional fees sometimes go in pair from the perspective that if we don't have the internal resources, we may externalize the services required. It's not necessarily the right thing to do, but you always have to decide to determine whether the resource needs are permanent or an expertise that you want to have internally versus externally. So that there's, you know, sometimes the decision is made together. I'll move on. Sorry, I was on page 26. I'll move on to page 27. I don't know if there's any specific question there.
Okay. Did that
yes.
Infrastructure cost assume that these Palo Alto office is retained as well?
Yes. We have not assumed that it's closed and don't know of any plans that it should be closed.
Thank you.
Security, page 28, we are providing a certain amount of departmental input on what are expected to be increases or changes in activities. I will only emphasize on this slide 28, the language services, that we are working on formulating a plan that tries to address priorities, strategic priorities, fiscal 2013 priorities, and needs that have been formulated by the community across the board, and that put a tremendous amount of pressure on our meetings team and language services team, and shows that we probably need to ramp up on the level of service that we provide there. So that's an element that's fairly meaningful in that we will talk again at the time of the budget. I'm just scanning through slide 29. Just as an assumption that you guys understand is there, we are assuming that we're going to continue on the IANA contract, though it's in an RFP. We have responded to the RFP and are awaiting the next steps of the process, but in the meantime, we have assumed that we continue the IANA contract. Don't have any element to speculate one way or the other. The revenues are detailed from page 30 to 32. And I think that brings us to more or less the end of the presentation, with one slide on contingency. And I'm happy to discuss that either now or down the road if you would like. But since we're over time, I'm suggesting to leave that to you.
Yep.
Right. just ask a quick question on 31, on CCTLD collections?
Yes.
I can't imagine why you would like to do that.
Carry on anyway. Does that assume that the current basis of payment continues, that we've yet to change that?
I'm not sure I understand your question. We are assuming here an amount that's slightly lower than the actuals of 2011.
Okay.
And that's the extent of the assumption.
Expected collections phrase. I wasn't sure what kind of expectations you had. So you're saying a similar level to that in FY12? Sorry, FY11, 12.
Yeah. Slightly lower.
Yeah, I think we are at 1,995,000 or something like that. We're very close to 2 million. We have just we don't have a reason to assume that that's going to drop tremendously or increase tremendously, and we've been slightly cautious, so we rounded it down to the next 100,000.
That's helpful. FY12 budget figure, I was just looking at the growth between the two, but you're talking FY12 actuals. Yeah, thank you.
I recognize it may look optically like a big growth, but it's actually not.
Which is exactly why actuals are so helpful.
Yes.
I
agree, and we will try to add that in the future for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much, Xavier, for taking so much time for us.
No problem. Thank you for your time and bearing with us. And, we are available by email, by phone, by whichever way you would like to receive your questions on this. And we will reconfirm also the timing of public comment and so on. But we're working by the 21 plus 21 days as per the most recent public comment process that's been implemented January 1st. But we will apply flexibility, of course, in receiving questions. And I don't, you know, if we can answer a question quickly that helps you guys move forward quicker, I'm very happy to do that as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll be in touch if necessary, and we'll do everything to reach the deadlines. Sorry, was there somebody who wanted to say something?
Yeah, that's me. This is Bart.
Hi, Bart.
What we will do is say, I just discussed it with Gabby. Normally we don't, but this is the first time, is that we will have a transcript of this call as well to be sent out to the SOP and to ICANN staff. So it's a written verb, a real transcript.
Excellent.
Just recording.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bart, you should have told me that before so that I don't say anything that I've said before.
Well, that was
exactly
your
choices. I checked.
Okay. Thank you very much, Xavier.
Thank you. So you would like us to drop off now, right?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much to everyone. Looking forward to seeing you guys in San Jose.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. So
bye-bye.
We still have the team here. Just quickly, Bart, do you want to, you sent us the email. I don't know if you have anything to add on the timeline. Maybe it's just better to tell us.
No, not
again.
Really. I think, Byron, are you still there? No, he's not. He sent an email, so it's just you and Leslie, you were off.
Oh. Okay.
And then there were two.
Okay, well, I think that just to check with Leslie, because I know that Bart agrees because we discussed it yesterday. So, Leslie, what did you think of the proposal to proceed with the teams that we used last year among the same division of, let's say, the specific parts of the framework as last year?
Absolutely fine.
Okay. Okay, so Bart, Leslie, I think we can cut this short. We will just Well, the three of us will just decide that the timeline is a timeline and that the division of teams is a division of teams. And
Mathieu already confirmed he's very comfortable with it. So that was in the chat box.
Yeah, okay, fine. But maybe we should send out an email to make sure that everybody knows this is not a proposal any longer, but this is the way we're going to do it and that we ask every team to come up with this stuff.
And so I can do that later this evening, and say, and I will also inform the SOP that it takes about 72 hours to get it all written up, that we will send a transcript of the call to the SOP so they can read what has been said. It's always easier than listening back.
Yeah. So, Leslie, what is your general feeling about this document as compared to last year's?
It's better. A lot better. Room for improvement, but a lot better.
Yeah, that's what. There's a big improvement in the way things are presented, right? And I think also I talked to Xavier before, and I discussed with him that last year we had the sentiment that there was more detail behind the financial figures than was presented in the framework, and possibly that drove him to come up with the assumptions and with the explanation on how we approach it towards the staff, just asking what they thought might. So I think it makes There's still room for improvement, but we're definitely making progress here. I had a chat with him on the phone, but I'll come back to that during our CC council call. But I had a chat with him on the phone, and he briefed me about the progress with the implementation of the new financial system.
And
I wasn't too happy about that. He's really struggling with it. Big parts of it have been implemented, but. In fact, it is a rebuilt as-is system. The design is just like the previous one, so we cannot expect anything more on, for instance, expense area groups as the situation was before this new system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have to think about that one then.
Yeah, because I remember that we agreed in Dakar with the board that we would await the implementation of the new system before we would readdress this whole issue of the cost of the CCTVs and what to do about it. But because we needed some answers, and this new system is not going to provide us with the answers we need.
Okay, all right. We need to have a discussion with Byron on that then as to what we do next.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was just to give this whole call a happy ending.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for that.
Well, no, but I think it was good to have Xavier there, and I think he really did his best. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being there, and Bart, maybe we should be in touch tomorrow, or is it you who will send out the reconfirmation email, or what do you want
maybe
me to do?
Let's get in touch tomorrow. I'll be at home anyway. So just call me anytime you want.
Okay. I'll try to squeeze that in.
Yeah. And say just to move forward. I think it's better from you, the email. What I could do is send a draft to you so you can resend it.
Yeah, but okay. Well, we'll see. So what happened to Gabi? Is Gabi still on the call?
I'm here.
Okay. Very good. Okay, well, Bart, Gabi, thank you very much again for your support. And, we'll talk to each other soon.
Yeah, okay, take care.
Thanks very much, everyone. Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good evening, everyone.
Bye.